Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we walk through this Trinity season, still now at the beginning, we saw last week in the Gospel how God sets our eyes on the goal of eternal life in the parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus. Neither focusing too much on the troubles that we have to endure in this life, nor allowing ourselves to be tempted by the good life that might present itself to us here, but focusing on our Christian walk with the goal of eternal life always in mind. This week, Jesus teaches us in the Gospel about how to achieve that eternal life in a certain way, how it's offered to us and to whom it's offered. And it comes with a warning right away as we begin this Trinity season, a warning not to despise the grace of God, but to enter the kingdom of God by grace as it's offered to us. He uses a parable of a supper in order to illustrate that point to us, a great supper to which many were invited. The context has Jesus himself sitting down at a supper, and there are other things that he said while at this supper. He had noticed the guests choosing the best places for themselves at the table, and he had warned them with a little parable not to do that when it comes to God, not to choose the highest place, but to choose instead the lowest place. Stop thinking of yourselves as worthy, as good people who deserve something from God, who deserve more than your neighbor. Stop thinking like that and put yourselves down in the lowest place, allowing God to lift you up if he sees fit. Because even the Son of Man lowered himself down to the lowest place, even though he deserved the highest, and allowed himself to be rejected, allowed himself to be crucified, and waited until the Father saw fit to raise him up, as he did on the third day after his death. So, we sinners, how much more shouldn't we lower ourselves down? That was one illustration at the supper. Then Jesus warned his fellow guests not to invite people to supper who can repay you, who can invite you back to supper at their house so you did something for them because they'll do something for you, but rather invite people who can't repay you that you may be blessed at the resurrection. Their thinking was, again, I'll do nice things for people who deserve nice things, who will treat me well in return for how well I treat them. Well, stop that, Jesus says. Stop dealing with other people selfishly, with your own interests at heart. Stop thinking about what you'll get out of it when you deal with other people. That's not how God is, and that's not how God's children are either. God does good to those who don't deserve it, who can't repay him, out of the goodness of his heart. That's what heaven is like, and that's what the inhabitants of heaven will be like too. Now, it's just at that point that a man who was there at the supper bursts out in what he must have thought to be a very profound and pious observation. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus has a reply to that man and to us as we consider it. It's where our gospel begins. And the question is, okay, but who are those who will eat bread there in the kingdom of God? And before we can learn about the who, we first have to define what there is. Because when many people think of entering God's kingdom. They apparently think as this man did. At the end of this life, after we've done everything that we're supposed to do, then we will get to enter God's kingdom. They think that, well, during this life, I believe that God exists and that I have a deep relationship with Him, but basically I'll do what I want. Maybe show up for church once in a while. And that's that. Then, at the end, I'll end up in heaven when I die. That's the kingdom of God, right? But what are we really talking about when we talk about the kingdom of God? What is Jesus talking about when he talks about entering the supper? Are we talking about going to heaven when we die? Do we mean the life after this life? After the last day? After the resurrection from the dead? Well, that is where the kingdom of God will exist in perfection. But no one will be there in that perfection who did not first enter here in this imperfection. Jesus proclaimed during his ministry, "The kingdom of God is at hand." And again, "The kingdom of God is among you." The kingdom of God isn't something that stands off in the future. It's where Christ reigns as king in people's hearts. He, the King of grace, we, the subjects under him in his kingdom. So to eat bread in the kingdom of God means entering God's kingdom of grace here and now. That is the Holy Christian Church. It means being in the church and part of that great assembly. That's what the church, word church means, you recall. Being part of that great assembly, which assembles in little groups like ours here and there around the world, but which God is able to see all at once, gathered together as one giant church. Now, being in the church certainly doesn't mean simply being in the church building as we are this morning. It's much more than that. And it doesn't mean getting baptized and then going away or attending services on and off when you feel like it. It means baptism accompanied by a living faith, daily repentance, constant nourishment through hearing the word, meditating on it, receiving the Lord's body and blood in the sacrament, and then putting the word of the Lord into practice, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, avoiding sin, bearing the cross, prayer, showing love to fellow Christians, not in word or tongue only, but as John warned in today's epistle, in deed and in truth. And doing all this day by day by day by day. Those who are thus in the church are already eating bread in the kingdom of God. This is what it means to be in God's kingdom. It's that to which God invites us. He doesn't invite us to some vision of salvation at the end of your life while you do whatever comes naturally to you until then. But all of this is part of being in the kingdom of God, not what a lot of people think, is it? It's serious business. It's an earnest practice of the Christian religion. That's what it means to be in God's kingdom. We don't gather together on Sundays because it's a nice thing to do. We gather together on the Lord's Day because it's part of what it means to be in the kingdom of God. And it also prepares us to live as children of God's kingdom on the days in between. Christianity cannot be a part of our life. It has to be our life. But that's not what most people are looking for, as Jesus' parable demonstrates. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." Come into the Christian church God invited long ago, invited the Jewish people. The supper is coming. Christ is coming. You're invited. And then when he came, "Come, the supper is ready. I've sent my son to redeem you from your sins, to suffer in your place, to guide and govern your life so that you may continue in this supper for all eternity. Believe in him and become a part of his body, a member of his church. I offer it all to you by grace for free, not based on what you've done." But what happened when that invitation went out and the supper time arrived? The ones who were invited made excuses, and they were some lame excuses too. "Oop, I bought some land. Have to go see it right now. Sorry, can't come to the supper." "Oops, I bought some oxen. Have to go test them out right now. No time for a supper. Hey, just got married, so obviously don't need to eat. Don't need supper. Not right now." Now notice, none of that rejection of the invitation is happening on the last day. We're not talking about people who are there when Jesus comes and say, "No, I don't want you." This happens much before that. It's happening here and now. The gospel invitation goes out to come into the Christian church for free. And it's rejected by those who were at first invited. So then in the parable, the master of the house shows even more grace. Even though he's angry with those who rejected his invitation, he shows grace to everyone else. More free and undeserved favor. He sends out his servants to gather in more people. Not people who love him, not people that he has some relationship with, not people who can repay him, but to the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, flawed people, sinful people, wicked people, people with nothing to offer God. These are the ones whom God wants to come to his supper, whom he calls to repentance and faith in his Son. And then to people along the highways and hedges, it says, people who had no former relationship with this master at all. Seemingly random people. Anyone and everyone is invited to enter the kingdom, God's church, for free through Christ. This is what God has done. And sadly, the first to be invited, like the Jews were, are often the first to decline the invitation. Something similar happens with those who were invited at a young age or who have spent a while in the church. They start to think that they maybe don't need as much grace as other people do. That they're not as bad now as the other sinners of the world. That they've earned their place now in the church, in the kingdom of God, and they start to realize, "You know, I have better things to do than to pray, than to hear God's word, than to worry about what God says I'm supposed to do or how God says I'm supposed to act." And tragically, they end up declining God's gracious invitation to enter his kingdom by grace. Because that being in his kingdom doesn't just start with entering it, it's staying there until the last day when our place there is finalized. And so while there is great comfort in today's gospel for the poor sinners who yearn for God's grace and know their sins and how much they can only enter by grace, our gospel ends with a dire warning. "I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." That is, none who declined the invitation. And if we were only talking about missing one supper, an earthly supper. No big deal. But of course we aren't. We're talking about life and joy with God for eternity versus death and torment in hell for eternity. To decline God's invitation to join His church and to be a living member of it is to remain in death and to choose everlasting condemnation. And none of those excuses that people made will prove to be valid. So the Holy Spirit pleads with you today, enter God's kingdom by grace, or you won't enter it at all. And having entered, never leave. Always give thanks for the gift of being included in the Holy Christian Church by grace for free. And treasure God's grace, because there will never come a time when you need it less. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.